It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be back. I've got a long message today since I haven't been in the pulpit for like a month. No, I have a message today that I think is going to wrap up our series. We've had this summer End Times series with Pastor Jimmy Evans. How many of you have liked that and learned a lot? Good. Thank you. We've had a lot of great feedback from this message. And we've been in this series. If you haven't been here, you haven't missed anything. These are all standalone messages, and I'm going to kind of wrap it up today. But the series was called Tipping Point, and it's a book by Pastor Jimmy Evans. And then last Sunday, because I wasn't able to be here because I wasn't feeling well, we did a video by Pastor Robert Morris that kind of went with that series about heaven, and I had a lot of great feedback from that message as well. And the reason why I brought these messages is because I do believe that we are living in the end times. It's not near, it's here. We're here. We're in it. But as Christians, as believers, we're not to be scared. Amen? We're not to be fearful. We're not to be coming home. I read a post this week on Facebook how this young lady, she grew up in a certain religious atmosphere where it was hellfire and brimstone, and talking about the second coming and the rapture of the church. And she said, every time I went home and I couldn't find my mom, I thought the rapture had happened. And she goes, and I was scared to death. Well, that's not how God wants us to act, all right? That's not how God wants us to be when we hear the Word of God. In fact, my prayer is that this series has encouraged your faith, has built your faith, has strengthened it, has also brought you peace and comfort, but also has stirred your heart to start making sure that your family and friends are ready. And as I could in the prayer time today, in the altar time, there was lots of prayers for family and different things and making sure everybody's ready to go home. All right. And we're going to talk about that today. But here's the deal. It's not just being ready, but God wants us to occupy. There's a parable of the parable of the talents, and what Jesus told them in that parable was, I want you to occupy until I come. Meaning, I want you to go ahead and get married. I want you to go ahead and have kids. I want you to go ahead and have grandkids. I want you to go ahead and build a house and all those things. I don't want you to pack up your bag and be ready to, you know, fly away, escape. God wants you to get involved in government. God wants you to get involved in education. God wants you to get involved in business. God wants us to get involved. Amen. And not just be fearful and sitting around going, God, when are you going to come get us out of this mess? God wants us to get involved and advance the kingdom of God here on the earth. That's what God wants us to do. But he also wants us to know that we're in this world, but we're not of it. And that we need to be at peace and comfort with that and, you know, faith on that, but also getting people ready, you know, family and friends as well. And so if you have your Bibles, what I want you to do is I feel like the Lord has given me a way how to wrap this all up today. And I want you to turn, you know, and I'm going to put them up here on the screen as well. If you don't know me, God anointed me to be a teacher, so I like to teach the Word of God. I like to get it in you. And in fact, whenever I'm preparing messages, I've got to scale back and take out scriptures because sometimes I give too much. And in fact, this message has 6 points, so you can write down, it's not just three, it's six. So it's a double message today. On the back of your bulletin, you write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six different points that I'm going to give you. But I feel like that this message is going to wrap up this series, but also it's going to connect some dots for you, too. I know it has for me. And so I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to put all these scriptures up here on the PowerPoint. I will also, if you just want to sit and listen and not even take notes, if you'll get with me after service, I'll even email you all of my notes, okay? But Hebrews chapter 11, whenever I was studying and when we were going through this series on the end times and talking about the rapture of the church and all the things that goes with the end times in the church, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6, it says this. It says, by faith, Enoch, and most of you, and if you've never heard the name Enoch, that's okay. You're in good company, all right? Most people have never even heard this taught from the pulpit, what I'm going to teach you today. But it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, and most of us know this scripture, verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's Hebrews 11, 5, verse 6. Most of you have heard 11, verse 6 in church, but you've never heard the one that goes before it and says, by faith, Enoch. Everybody say Enoch. All right, I believe that we're the generation of Enochs, all right? By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, we're going to jump back into Genesis chapter 5. This message, by the way, is going to go from Genesis to Revelation. Are you ready to hear the Word of God today? Amen? All right? And so in Genesis chapter 5, we go back to where it's talking about Enoch. And in Genesis chapter 5, it says, this is after the fall of man. It says, when Jared had lived 162 years, he went to Jared. That's a joke, okay? All right. Anybody ever see those commercials? He went to Jared. I bombed that one. I'll just make sure y'all were awake. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then altogether Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. How would you like that name? That's a name. That's a good name to pick out for your kids. Verse 22 says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years, and Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. What we just read in Hebrews 11, verse 5, too. Now, I'm going to give you just a few observations from Genesis chapter 5. And from the book of Genesis, so you can understand why, because I had these questions too as I began, you know, as I got saved and I started studying the Word of God, then when God called me to be a teacher of the Word, first of all, people lived for centuries instead of decades back in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to tell you, back, all we know is you and I, we were born into this world, into this planet, into this earth, and it was, we were born after the flood. This earth was a whole nother earth before the flood, a whole nother planet. Scientists have done some studies and I'm going to give you a few things today, but we really don't know everything about it, but it was a whole different earth planet before. So that's why people lived for centuries instead of decades, because we were created to live forever. Did you know that? We were. But what sin has done, sin has made us where we don't live as long. Sin has also, when you go outside and you see green, the color green on the grass, and we've had a blessed summer and we've had lots of rain, that green is nothing compared to the green that's in heaven. Even the shades of colors that we see are tainted because of sin. Everything, the fall of man affected everything. Spiritually, everything. Everything that we see, everything that's around us, the whole earth. And so people live for centuries instead of decades. And so, you know, and you'll read some scholars and they'll try to say, well, they had different time. No, people lived for centuries instead of decades back then, because there was a whole other world before the flood. Enoch is mentioned more than any other person in Genesis chapter 5. He's mentioned like 4 or 5 times in Genesis chapter 5. He's also the only one that we know of that the Bible says that walked with God from Genesis to the flood of Noah, all right? And then it says Enoch was the 7th from Adam. And then Enoch is the only person that is said to walk with God until Noah. Those are the 4 observations from this before the flood. And I just wanted to point that out. A lot of talking about the flood and the earth before Noah's flood. People have, you know, the scientific things backing behind all this, why people live for centuries instead of decades. It was due to a more pure genetic pool that was going back then. It was also the soil, the dirt, was much more nutrient-rich, so food was much better for people. And there was also, and this is very interesting, And you can go study this, the flood. The Bible talks about when the flood happened that water came from underneath and it came from above. It had never rained before on the earth when Noah built the... When Noah was building the boat, he looked like a complete idiot because it had never rained before. People were looking at him like, what in the world are you doing, dude? You have lost your marbles. And it never rained. There had never been a storm. There had never been a tornado. There had never been a hurricane. There was no storm tragedies. And what scientists have found out, that what they believe, and I believe this as well, that there was a canopy of water vapor that shielded the earth from UV rays. All right? And that's why people lived longer, lived for centuries instead of decades. And there was no storms or weather-related tragedies. They've even tried, scientists, to what we think and what they know as with human intelligence, to create an atmosphere like that. They create an atmosphere like that in a room, you know, just a little bubble, probably about the size of this room. And they try to create that kind of an atmosphere. And what they found out is, like, one of the things that they found out, a lot of different things, and I should have brought that study for you, but one of the things I found very interesting about that atmosphere was because it's so oxygen-rich atmosphere that, like, if you got a cut, it would heal almost immediately, and in that kind of an atmosphere. So that was the kind of, I'm just trying to give you an idea to let you know and try to help connect some dots here, that before the flood, there was a whole different earth here. And the Bible talks about a little bit, some things that I'm going to share today that you've probably never heard before. But it's going to help connect some dots later on, okay? But here's what God wants us to do. And this is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a whole lot of stuff that I'm trying to teach you today, but there's a whole lot of stuff that I don't know. And so what God wants us to do when we don't know, when the Bible is silent on it, we're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not going to freak me out. I'm just going to walk by faith, knowing that my Father's got it all taken care of. Amen. But there's some things he wants us to know, too. He's not going to hide things from us. It says, for we live by faith, not by sight. That's in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Most of you know that scripture if you've been around church any length of time. But it's also in Habakkuk 2, 4, Romans 1, 17, and Galatians 3, 11, where it says, the just shall live by faith. All right, so look at somebody and say, walk by faith. Look at somebody and say, I live by faith. All right, so I'm going to give you six things today. Six things to write down about faith, all right, that every one of us in here are to walk by faith. There are things that God does want us to know. When the Bible's silent or we don't know, we don't understand, we're to walk by faith. God's got it all taken care of. Your Father knows best. All right, number one is faith walks with God. Faith walks with God. Guys, when I said we're going to be the Enoch generation, you might say, well, I'm not as righteous as Enoch. Yes, you are. Jesus, you know Jesus. Enoch didn't even know Jesus yet, and he walked with God, and God took him. You're saved. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. You're walking with God. Amen? And here's the other thing. When you're walking by faith and walking with God, you believe that this is my absolute authority right here. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus. And this is what I live and govern my life by. I have a biblical world view. And you believe in the Word of God and you walk by faith. All right, so we go back to Hebrews 11, verse 5. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He cannot be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. All right, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 5, and verse 21 through 24. And it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah actually means when he dies, it shall descend, talking about the judgment, talking about when Methuselah passed away. You can go look all this up. When Methuselah passed away, and by the way, Methuselah is the oldest person in the Bible, 969 years, and when he passed away is when the flood began. All right? But when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. So I got to thinking about this. When I was studying this, I was like, how, you know, what caused Enoch to start walking with God? What's caused Enoch to start walking with God? And then I saw it in verse 21. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. When you become a parent, you start walking with God. Amen. When you have toddlers, when you have teenagers, you start walking with God. It's amazing. And it made me think of just here recently, and I'm going to share his story again, Wyatt Eaton. He married Jesse Eaton, a local lady girl here. And his mother, you know, his mother passed away from COVID. I did her memorial service. She was 44 years old, a nurse at the VA. Then he got married. I did their wedding ceremony. And then Jesse became pregnant. And we talked one day. I talked to them in their premarital counseling. He told me, because I always make sure that they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He said, yes, Pastor Mark, I do. And then I asked him, have you followed the Lord in water baptism? Well, Jesse had, but he hadn't. Wyatt hadn't. He said, no, I haven't yet. Haven't done that. I said, well, you need to do that as soon as possible. And I said, in fact, we can do it right here at the church. And I said, you just let me know when you're ready. And he said, okay. So time went on. There was, if you don't know Wyatt Eaton, his dad owns Four Seasons Heating and Air. So he's in the heat and air business. And I had a situation come up in real estate where I had to call Wyatt about a heat and air unit of a house that I had listed. And in our conversation, Wyatt said, Pastor Mark, do you remember when we talked before we got married and about water baptism? And I said, yeah, I sure do. And he said, I'm ready to do that. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, great. And I said, do you want to do it tonight? I was like, let's go do it. I said, I'm over here at Foss Lake right now. You want to meet me over here? We'll just go get her done. And that's where he was going to meet me at over there. And he said, no, I'd like to invite my family, Jesse's family, my family. And I'd like to. And I said, well, where do you want to do it at? He said, let's do it at the church. And I said, okay. And so they couldn't make the arrangements on a Sunday morning so because of all of his family being everywhere. So we did it on a Wednesday night here, last Wednesday is when it was. And her family, his family, I bet we had 40 people here that evening, didn't we? Betty and Dusty were here. And I shared with them, there's just something about with this walking with God. When Enoch started walking with God, what makes you start thinking about it more than anything, and I can remember back whenever Taya was born, Jade and I had been married for a year. We weren't in church at all, period. But we'd been raised in church, and we knew what was right. And we knew about the Lord and all these things. And when Jada became pregnant, that's when I was like, we gotta get back in church. We gotta raise our kids in church. And it's amazing how God does that in families. And that's what exactly happened with Enoch. He started walking with God when old Methuselah showed up. And then this goes, and so when I was thinking about Methuselah, and Methuselah lived 969 years, the oldest man in the New Testament, and we also know when you study his life out, you'll realize that it was prophesied at his birth that whenever he passes away is when it shall descend, the judgment will come. We're talking about Noah's flood, and I was thinking about, but man, he lived 969 years, and it made me think of this scripture in 2 Peter verses 3, verses 9 through 10, and I just want to say this today because I know some of you in here, a lot of you in here have been raised in church, and you've heard these messages before that Jesus is coming soon. And you probably heard it. You say, I heard that message back when I was 5 years old. Well, guess what? You're closer now than when you was at five, right? We all are. And here's the reason why God, I love this scripture in 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 10. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's wanting every one of us to get right with the Lord, family and friends, everybody. Psalms 25, verse 14, out of the Message Bible. I love this scripture. It says, God friendship, when you're walking with God, you're going to have friendship with God, is for God worshipers. They are the ones that he confides in. I believe this with all of my heart, that the reason why I've heard this happening with, even up here during our prayer time today, is God is doing something in people, and it's God Almighty doing it. It's no preacher doing it. But God's doing something in people, and they're saying, I've got to get right with God. I've got to make sure my family is. I've got to make sure my friends are. Because, guys, we're in the end. The end is very soon. And so that's what's going on. And God, he is confiding in us that we're in this end. And I'm going to switch gears here for just a second. And I'm hoping that this connects some dots for some of us in here today. in this. Don't you like number point number one is taking forever, isn't it? Okay, I promise you we'll get out of here by noon, I promise. But I wanted to connect some dots with this scripture. In fact, I had told somebody that I was thinking about doing a whole message on this, but I don't. I felt led that God was saying, Mark, I want my people to walk by faith. I want them to be like Enoch, walk by faith, please me. When the time is right, we're going to come with me. Okay? And I said, okay, God. But I also want to connect this dot with you guys because I've had people ask me this. Because I've been talking about Noah's flood, that judgment. And there is going to be another judgment coming. And that's the Great Tribulation, which we won't be here as Christians. But in Genesis 3, verse 15, this is where I told you we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation really quick today. In Genesis 3, 15, it says, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, he's talking to the enemy, Satan, and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Okay? That's a prophetic word in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall of man, that Jesus is coming. Everybody see that? Jesus is coming. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. All right? Now, everybody say seed war. Seed war. All right? Now, there was years ago, it was here in Leedy, when we started the church here in Leedy. We were still uptown, and in our building uptown, we had I think it was even a back-to-school deal or something during the summer, and we was down at the park, and we was having a cookout. And I'm just, you know, Pastor Mark, I'm showing up for the food, right? I'm like, I'm ready to eat some hamburgers and some hot dogs. And I show up, and we get out of the car, and this lady that attends church here, she doesn't come all the time because she has to work on Sundays, she asked me a question. And it just kind of caught me off guard. I was like, well, that's a question for a church picnic. You know, and her question was this, Pastor Mark, why did God kill people in the Old Testament? And I was like, wow, why don't you just drop that bomb on me right before I eat a hot dog, you know? And I was like, I'm going to have to do some studying on that for you because that's a great question. She goes, well, and she goes, I just started reading my Bible, you know, for the first time, been coming to church and you've inspired me to start getting in the Word, and I started reading the Word, and I saw that God just was killing a whole lot of people in the Old Testament. And she's like, is he mad? Is he schizophrenic? What's wrong with God? And I was like, no. He's not. God's a good God. God loves people. But then I go home, I was like, God, why did you kill people in the Old Testament? You know? And I believe that God gave me some insight on this, and I don't believe that I'm not going to make a doctrine out of this by no means, or say, but I'm going to give this to you the way I feel like the Lord gave it to me, and it goes back to this Genesis 3:15 because there is a seed war going on, and we're a part of it. We're in the middle of it, and this war has been going on even before we showed up on the planet. There was the Bible teaches that there was rebellion in heaven. And this rebellion's been going on, and the enemy has been trying to inspire people to join him in this rebellion against God. But I'm going to go back into Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and this is going to kind of show you what was going on before the flood happened. And this is going to help connect some dots, help answer this question, why did God kill people in the Old Testament? It says, then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God, everybody say the sons of God. All right, I'm going to encourage you, you can go study this for yourself, but every time the sons of God are mentioned in Scripture, it's talking about angels. All right, the sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. So they did this by force. All right, verse 3 says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites, Nephilim, lived on the earth. So there were giants. This is before the flood, all right? And they were also here after the flood. Lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. Now, this is where, I'm just going to put a plug in here. You've probably never heard this taught on a Sunday morning, or probably never heard this taught in church, period. But this is where Greek mythology comes from. There's some truth in that, Okay? This is where, you know, you've heard stories about the Olympians and the Titans and all those things. This is where all that comes from, right here. One scripture. Verse 5 says, "The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil." And what the enemy was trying to do, guys, the enemy was trying to disrupt the bloodline to keep Jesus from coming. And so they were producing all this offspring. We don't know. There's some that say there's a book of Enoch, okay? It's something that's not in our canon of Scripture. But in Enoch, who we're talking about today in this book, says that there was 200 angels that left their estate. We've got reference of it in our Bible as well. There was 200 of them that left what they were supposed to be doing as angels and cohabitated with women. They took women by force, and they were fallen angels, and it produced this offspring called Nephilim. All right? Now, the Nephilim, is everybody learning something this morning? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? All right. Now, the Nephilim, whenever they died, that spirit that they had was not created by God. All right. So that spirit are the ones that are roaming the earth trying to find somebody to inhabit. All right. They're trying to find the animals, you know, people, whatever. And everybody's looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate this morning. And that's okay, because I know, but you need to hear this, because I'm hoping this connects dots, because this is why the flood came, to stop that from happening. That's why God killed people in the Old Testament. That kind of stuff was going on, and it was evil. If you'll hear about it today, guys, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord and that Pastor Martin knows everything, because I don't, but whenever there have been archaeological digs have found these bones of giants, but they're never put on, they're all automatically like whisked away and put somewhere where we don't know what's going on with them. And it wouldn't shock me if there isn't DNA testing and all kinds of junk going on with them. Because there's times where, we don't need to know who the Antichrist is, because we're going to be out of here. Amen? Okay? But the Bible says that he's going to have the mark 666. Well, that's a trinity, 666, fully man. Makes me wonder, going back to this Nephilim, what's going on there. Jesus, whenever he was here, you know, when he came up, and you see in the Gospels, when he's interacting and casting out demons, and they'll talk back to him, and that even one time when they was in the herd of swine, anybody remember that? And they said, "Have you come to torment us before our time, Jesus?" And the deal is whenever you study the Gospels, it talks about there. The Bible teaches there were evil angels that fell. A third of the angels fell with Satan, but then this offspring, the Nephilim, are where these spirits come from. All right, and even Jesus said there are unclean spirits. He called them unclean spirits, and you cast them out. You have authority over them in the name of Jesus. Don't be scared. If one shows up, just cast it out. I've had them show up a few times in my life. I don't go around looking for them, but I've had a few show up. I've had them show up in prayer lines sometimes, and they'll talk back to you, and you'll just tell them, shut up, and in the name of Jesus. And when they know that you know who you are in Christ, it scares the living daylights out of them. I'm telling you, Jesus, that the name of Jesus is powerful in heaven and earth and underneath the earth, in all realms. Jesus' name is powerful. So I don't want you to be scared about that. I'm just trying to show you something and connect the dots. Go back to that question. Why did God kill people in the Old Testament? This is the reason why. Because the enemy was trying to disrupt the bloodline. In 2 Peter 2, verse 4, I'll show you some other scriptures about this. It says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment." So God did something with these angels. This is also in the book of Jude, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains until gloomy darkness, until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." Most of you know that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as well. What was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? When the Bible talks about two angels that showed up, We also know this about angels. Angels can appear just like us as humans. That's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. New Testament, Hebrews 13 says, you know, you could entertain angels unaware, and you're not aware that this person is an angel or whatever. But when these two angels showed up to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot brought them into his house, the Bible says, and you can go back and read this in Genesis, the Bible says that men came to his house, knocked on his door, and asked them because they wanted to have sex with those angels that were in his house. That's what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. What was happening the time before Noah's flood was angels were cohabitating with women, and they were taking them by force and producing this offspring called Nephilim. And God says, I'm done with this. It's time to intervene in the judgment. I'm gonna read this scripture because the righteous line is coming down through Seth in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 4, the reason why I want to read this scripture to you guys is I'm hoping I'm sparking you to get in the Word yourself and study this out for yourself. But the reason why I'm wanting to read this is because I want to show you what was going on in Enoch's day. This stuff, the Nephilim and all that was going on in Enoch's day. And the Bible says he was walking with God. We're seeing all kinds of stuff happen in our day, right? I mean, wrong is right. Right is wrong today. You see it everywhere. And guys, us as Christians, we've got to keep walking with God. We've got to keep walking with God. So I wanted to read this passage to you in Genesis chapter 4, just so you could see what was going on even with people on the earth, and how the Nephilim and the evil that was going on was affecting people. And it says, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, and by the way, this is the first time that we see polygamy in the Bible, and Ada and Zillah, so this guy had wives literally from A to Z. That's a joke, by the way. He says, thank you. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. He's talking about murdering somebody and injuring and killing two people. And he says, if Cain, talking about Cain, remember Cain and Abel, if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. He's basically saying, and he's bragging about it. He's basically saying, I'm just paraphrasing this for you. He's basically bragging about, I'm 77 times worse than Cain, and I'm proud of it. That was the kind of atmosphere that was going on in the earth before the flood. Does everybody understand that? Does everybody, that starting to connect some dots? All right. So the reason why I shared all that is just because God wants us to walk with God. All right? Keep walking with God. Even in the midst of all the evil that we see happening in our world, he wants every one of us to walk with God. All right? And sometimes when you're out there fighting the battle and fighting the good fight of faith, you feel alone. That's why you need your church family to come back here, huddle up, get strengthened up, get, you know, huddled up. And we have our little huddle here on Sunday mornings, and then we go back out into the world, into our places of influence. But God wants us to walk by faith. All right, here's number two. Number two, faith pleases God by believing God exists. All right? Even the demons believe that God exists, but they don't do anything about it. God wants us to believe that God exists, but he also wants us to believe that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and we have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Faith pleases God by believing that God exists. And I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So faith pleases God by believing that God exists. And then we also take it a step further in that verse 6, where he says he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith believes it pays to serve God. Guys, it pays to serve God. It's better to serve God than the enemy. It's better to serve God than the world. And I want every one of us in here to be T-rated Christians, and that means your time, your talents, and your treasures, you serve God with those. And guys, God is going to pay you back for that. God's going to reward you for that. And it may be in this life. It's going to happen in this life. It's also going to be in the life to come. And everybody said amen. And so I'm just going to tell you, Galatians 6:9 tells us as believers, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is not a time to be playing church. Guys, this is a time, number four, is faith wholeheartedly follows God. All right? We learned this from Pastor Jimmy, the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. Half of them were serving God, half of them were not. And so basically what Jesus was saying is like, if you take that literally, that Jesus was saying, when I come back, half the church is going to be false. There's only, you know, and so there is a righteous remnant that is following God. I believe every one of us in here are that righteous remnant. Faith wholeheartedly follows God. And this is 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards Him. All right? God wants to give you strong support, even in the midst of all the stuff that you're going through. All right? Number five, faith tells others about God. Like I said earlier, I prayed with several people up here in the altar this morning, and they're concerned about family. They want their family to get back in church. They want friends to get back in church. So the, you know, a situation where somebody was witnessing to somebody at work and all those. And God's doing that to people, putting that on their hearts to pray those and believe for that. Guys, the best evangelism you can do is not shoving Jesus down people's throat, but just living it before them, all right, and letting them see the blessings of God upon your life. Enoch was somebody that told others about God, and in verses 14 and 15 of Jude, it says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. Not only did he know about the first judgment that was coming, but God also told this man about the second judgment that was coming. It says, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones, that's us, to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So even Enoch in his day was telling other people about God. And guys, by the time Noah came on the scene, God says in his word, there was only eight people following God. That family of eight. All right? And we're living in that kind of a day right now. That there's not very many people really following God. If you really look at what's going on. And I'm just encouraging us, we have got to walk with God and walk by faith. All right, here's number six. And this is what I'm going to close with today. Faith is expectantly watching God for the rapture, and this is what we've been learning through this whole end time series. It's not that we got our bag packed and all that, but guys, you know, when that time comes, I want every one of us, you know, jumping the first, you know, this white boy's going to be jumping, right? And I want all of us to be, he wants us to be excited about that, right? And not fearful. The world's going to be fearful. It's not going to be a very good day for the world. But God wants us to be excited about it. And this is Hebrews 5 again, Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found. So evidently, people were looking for him. People are going to be looking for us too, guys, when that day comes. Because God had taken him away. They're probably going to explain it off on aliens. I'm serious. The government's bringing that out right now, releasing that information that they do believe that there are alien activity. That was just released in June, guys. And it's going to play into the end time scenario, I promise. But we won't be here. They can think we're with aliens, but we're going to be with Jesus. Amen? For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, just because Enoch walked with God. Now here's we'll put this slide up here because this is what I'm trying to convey to everybody in here that's listening to this, and those are going to be watching online, those are going to listen to this on the radio. Is number one, people can walk with God. Enoch was just a regular old Joe like you and I, all right? So people can walk with God even in the midst of an evil world. And number two, God desires to walk with his people. And I believe that we are the Enoch and the Elijah generation. Elijah was another one in Scripture that was taken. I believe that we're that generation, the Enoch and Elijah generation, and your faith in him is what pleases God. And everybody said, all right, and I'm going to read just a few more scriptures if you know me. This is something that I read at every graveside ceremony for a Christian, and it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." And then I love what the Apostle Paul says at the end of that. He says, "Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words." He doesn't say, "Therefore, scare the living daylights out of each other with these words." No, he says, "Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words." Luke 12, verse 40 says, "You also," this is Jesus, "you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So we need to be ready, but we need to occupy until he comes. We need to still get involved in things and do things and advance the kingdom of God here on the earth. And then Revelation 22, verses 12 through 13, this is the Lord speaking again. He says, "Look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And one last scripture. I promise this is the last one. If I could sum up my whole sermon today in a scripture, this would be it. This is what God tells us, Micah 6:8, what he wants us to do. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and that it is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And everybody said, "Amen." It's all God wants us to do is walk by faith and be the Enoch and Elijah generation.